Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
If you travel the 2nd Avenue corridor in the city of Pittsburgh through Hazelwood, you have seen a lot of progress, a lot of new construction going on. Hazelwood Green is bringing new life to the former J&L Hazelwood Coke Works area. New life popping up, too, at RIDC Industrial Parks in McKeesport, Duquesne, and East Pittsburgh. Don Smith is our guest this morning. He's the president of the Regional Industrial Development Corporation. He's going to talk to us a little bit this morning about what RIDC does. He's also going to talk about where do we go now that the U.S. Steel merger with Nippon Steel is at the very least on hold. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for taking some time to talk with us. You folks at RIDC do not seem to sit still, do you?
We've been very busy. Our team has been working hard, and there's both a lot of need and I think some opportunity for the region. So that keeps us busy.
I want to ask you, you've had an op-ed that you published called "With the Election Over, RIDC is Calling for a Recovery Plan for the Mon Valley." But first, tell us what the Regional Industrial Development Corporation is.
Sure. Jay, the RIDC is a private, not-for-profit economic development organization. So we don't receive government funding for our operations, but we do have this public mission of predominantly real estate development and finance, but also economic development policy that will help the region create and retain high-quality jobs, grow the tax base, and basically improve the standard of living here in the region.
Where are some of the facilities that RIDC has developed?
Yeah, so in addition to our original park, RIDC Park in O'Hara, we actually have 14 other sites around the region. So RIDC's territory goes from the West Virginia border to the Ohio border, up to Mercer County, and then over to Somerset County, so more or less an hour, hour and a half drive from Pittsburgh in any direction. And those include Thornhill Industrial Park up in Wexford Cranberry, RIDC Park West out by the airport. And then, as you mentioned, the Mon Valley, we have Hazelwood Green, Keystone Commons, which is the Turtle Creek East Pittsburgh facility, Cary Furnace, Duquesne, McKeesport. In the city of Pittsburgh, we've got the Ferrywood site and also Lawrenceville Technology Center, where a lot of the robotics activity originated. And then we've got parks in other counties. We've got parks with our partners in Westmoreland out at the former Sony plant in New Stanton, and the former Alcoa plant in New Kensington. And then we've also partnered with Armstrong Industrial Development Corporation on the RIDC Armstrong Advanced Industrial Park, Advanced Technology Park up in the Slate Lick, exit off of 28. And we have a park up in Neshannock in Lawrence County as well.
We're talking with John Smith from RIDC. Can you give us your website address, please, for people to get more information?
Sure, it's www.ridc.org.
Are all of the sites that RIDC has developed over the years, are they all brownfields, or were some of them new developments?
Well, Jay, you know, our RIDC, what we try to do is we try to respond to whatever the need is in the region at the time. So when we were first in the development business, there were no business parks or industrial parks. And so the first three parks were really greenfield developments. So RIDC Park, Thornhill, and Park West, because that's what the business community said they needed and we didn't have. Over time, as the steel industry collapsed and created probably the largest assortment of brownfields anywhere in any city, we really got into the brownfield business, first at the Pittsburgh Technology Center in Hazelwood, partnering with the URA on that one, but then continuing on down through the Mon Valley and now working our way up the Allegheny Valley, doing predominantly brownfield sites. But we also have gotten into the technology and R&D spaces, as we've seen the Pitt and Carnegie Mellon and UPMC and AGH really become key drivers for our regional economy. We've done facilities to support their growth and to leverage the excellence that they have in research, teaching, and medicine, and try to turn that into economic growth.
I was going to mention you've partnered with the universities to develop some structures for them, both in Hazelwood and in Oakland over the years.
Yes, we developed buildings like the Software Engineering Institute, SEI, on Fifth Avenue with Carnegie Mellon. We also did the Collaborative Innovation Center. That's the building on CMU's campus where Intel and Apple and Google and Disney all have had R&D centers. And then in Hazelwood Green, our first project at Mill 19, Carnegie Mellon is our anchor tenant in that facility. And we're delighted to see that both Pitt and Carnegie Mellon have major facilities in development adjacent to Mill 19 now.
Don Smith is our guest this morning. He's president of Regional Industrial Development Corporation, RIDC.org. When we talk about brownfields, we're talking about these former industrial sites in McKeesport. This site, the Industrial Center of McKeesport that RIDC has created, is the old U.S. Steel National Tube Works. In Duquesne, similarly, a U.S. Steel facility, and I think you mentioned in Turtle Creek in East Pittsburgh, Keystone Commons is the old home plant of Westinghouse Electric Corporation. It's something that seems to happen every 4 years, and we've alluded to it already, is when there's a presidential election, the national media discovers Pittsburgh, and I invariably get calls from at least two or three national reporters who want to talk to some laid-off steelworkers. Their mind is still stuck that it's 1984, and that there's still guys standing around on and women standing around on street corners. Hasn't been the case for a long time, and that's why RIDC stepped in.
Yeah, I can remember vividly in 1986. I was working for the State Department of Commerce, and I was sent out to a conference in Glassport, and I drove through Duquesne and McKeesport in order to get there. And I grew up in the Poconos. I'm not originally from Pittsburgh. I had never seen anything like the economic devastation that had happened with the closure of those mills. And today, while we're not where we want to be, we're in a much better place in the valley. And so those sites have been cleaned up. There's a lot of companies and jobs on those sites. And we've seen some revitalization of the communities. But I think, as I said in the op-ed you're alluding to, it's not enough. And it's time for federal and state and local resources to really be comprehensively packaged to give it that push that'll put McKeesport, Duquesne, and the rest of the valley back on, not just a decent trajectory, but a positive one.
I want to dig into this op-ed, and we're going to do that after we take a break here in a couple of minutes. But I want to sort of close the loop on this conversation of these brownfields. It was something that, in talking with people who do construction and development, there's a whole different set of challenges from going to, let's say, some farmland in Westmoreland County or the outskirts of Allegheny County versus doing an old industrial site, an old steel mill site, or an old manufacturing site in Pittsburgh. What are some of the challenges that you run into in a place like Duquesne or like McKeesport?
Well, there's a whole host of them. I think they tend to fall into maybe three or four buckets. The first one is you have some structures that are frequently not reusable. So you have to demolish those and get rid of them. Often they're loaded with asbestos and other materials. So the cost of taking those down can be really daunting. And then you have any environmental remediation that's required. In many of the steel mill sites, you'll see some heavy metals, you'll see some other chemicals in the soils that you need to remediate, either by removing them or capping them and making sure, after a lot of testing, that they're not going anywhere and won't do any harm. So the remediation is also a substantial challenge. And then, one of the biggest challenges that we have is these sites were really designed for the steel industry. So they have excellent rail service, they're frequently barge served, but the transportation network is not great getting there. And so in an economy that has become increasingly
May I interrupt you for just a second? The transportation, not just for employees to come work there, but also for goods to come in and out with sort of modern trucking and intermodal services.
absolutely. Take, for example, a company like American Textile, which employs a couple hundred people between Duquesne and McKeesport. making, bedding and pillows for a large variety of major retailers. They have a lot of trucks coming in and out with materials and with finished product. And so that transportation access, not just for people who used to just walk from Duquesne or McKeesport, where they lived, down to the mill, but really moving people and product in and out of the Mon Valley is a real challenge. And that's why the Mon Fayette Expressway is such an important project for the future of the Mon Valley.
Before we take this break and before we get into the op-ed which you wrote, it should be obvious, but why does a group like RIDC, a nonprofit, exist to develop these sites that we have not seen large outside corporations come in and snap these places up?
Well, generally speaking, Jay, we say we do the projects where the public benefit is greater than the private benefit. So it's really important to the future of Duquesne and McKeesport for these sites to be put back into productive use, both from a tax-based standpoint. And I'll note that even though we're a nonprofit organization, we do pay real estate taxes on our properties because that's an important part of helping to support the communities in which we invest. But we don't have shareholders. So we don't have to hit a return hurdle of 8 or 10 or 12 or 15 or 27% on our investment. And we can also take a more patient approach. And we work very closely with the county, with the state, whenever possible, the federal government, to package as many resources. And I can't leave out our foundations, who are so important here in southwestern Pennsylvania, to package as many resources as we can, along with our own capital, to really make these projects feasible. When a private investor will look at it and say, I can't see a return. I can't put the money in and tie it up for that long without the return. And so that's why you don't see the private sector doing some of these sites. They're just not economically lucrative enough or viable, feasible from an investment standpoint. That's why you have an organization like RIDC and others that will go in and tackle these projects that are important for the community, but are frankly not very lucrative. And so take a very patient approach to these things.
If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Absolutely. At RIDC, we have a saying that we have our own PPP program. You may remember from the COVID days. Ours is partnership, packaging, and patience. That's how we tackle these projects that otherwise really wouldn't be feasible.
Well, we're going to ask for your patience and we're going to ask for the listeners' patience for 30 seconds while we take a quick break. Donald Smith is the president of the Regional Industrial Development Corporation of Southwestern Pennsylvania, RIDC.org. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about this proposal that you have put together for sort of a vision for the Mon Valley for discussion purposes. We'll also want to ask you what businesses, what organizations are looking for when they come to RIDC to look for commercial or industrial property and what then you offer them, okay?
Okay.
Broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes on Radio 81 WEDO, 1550 and 101.1 WZUM, the Pittsburgh Jazz Channel, and Tube City Online Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Don Smith is our guest. He's the president of RIDC, RIDC.org. If somebody is listening to this or happens to tune into this and they're looking for flexible office space or warehousing space or light manufacturing space, what's the best way to get in touch with you and start that conversation?
Probably the best way is actually to go to our website, www.ridc.org. And we have a button there for spaces that are available. Mike Heinricher is our point person for leasing. And so you can get to Mike through our main line, 412-315-6456.
What are people looking for these days when they come? Let's say I've got a startup business, need to do some light manufacturing, I need to get maybe some trucks and some equipment. in and out, and I've got, I don't know, 15, 20 employees. What kind of amenities do they need?
Well, I think, first and foremost, they want space that's affordable. And with the cost of new construction these days, that's getting harder and harder to offer. But a lot of times they want flexible space where they can start in say 5,000 square feet or 10,000 square feet. And as their business grows, expand their space without having to relocate. And so, for many decades now, RIDC is celebrating its 70th anniversary this year. For many decades, we've been specializing in providing flex space. So spaces that can go as small as maybe 2,500 square feet. And I think our largest space is, over 2 million square feet. So
is that the old pipe mill building in McKeesport?
It's actually the old Sony plant out in Newstead.
Oh, sure. Of course. Yeah.
And so we have that variety of spaces. But I think, today it's all about talent and where can you attract the workforce. And so people want to have amenities nearby. They'd love to have, coffee shops or restaurants. They want to have transportation access that's convenient, whether that's public transit or through cars or even today bikes as the trails run through our parks. So they want to have those kinds of things. And then, they want to have modern space that sets the tone. I think the other thing that we're seeing a lot of actually is this kind of reshoring trend starts to grow and bringing manufacturing back to the United States, both for national security, but also just economic security purposes. We're seeing more and more demand for manufacturing spaces. We're working right now with a battery manufacturer to build a new facility in Duquesne. We've had very strong demand in Keystone Commons for our industrial space there. And so we're seeing, certainly for the first time in a long time, a fairly robust flow of particularly energy-related manufacturing companies, batteries, magnets, generators of various sorts. And so that's another trend that we're looking for. And there really is now a shortage of industrial space with high bay and crane, because we've torn so much of that down over the years and redeveloped those sites. And it's very expensive to build those sites new. So the sites that we do have have experienced the definitely stronger demand.
Let me ask a question that should be fairly obvious, but I hear it a lot, and I have heard it a lot over the last 10 or 20 years. I get asked, well, why are they not building housing along the river in McKeesport or Duquesne? Or why are they not building a shopping center or a shopping development like you have on the Southside Works or like you have in Homestead? Why isn't RIDC developing housing or shopping there?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. The first is that we really, that's not the business we're in. We don't know what we're doing in those areas. So we try not to venture too far from our area of expertise. But we have certainly partnered with housing developers and retail developers on some of our other sites. One of the environmental challenges that does remain from some of the steel mill sites is they are cleared through something that's called Act 2. It's the Pennsylvania Land Recycling Act that actually was critical to enabling some of these brownfield sites to be reused. But you get clearance for various levels of development. And so not all of the sites are cleared for residential development because the exposure levels are different when you live there versus when you come in and work for the day. So that's part of the reason. But there are definitely some challenges with, the rail runs between the sites and the rivers. But first and foremost for RIDC, while we would be happy to partner with residential developers, we're really in the jobs business and creating spaces and places where companies can hire Southwest Pennsylvania residents and create those jobs, those good paying jobs, and grow the tax base.
It's right there in the name, Industrial Development, the Regional Industrial Development Corporation, RIDC.org. We all kind of knew it was coming, but we're going to switch gears here. U.S. Steel proposed a merger with Nippon Steel. We all kind of knew that both President Biden and our new president, President Trump, were opposed to the deal. They had both come out of opposed to the deal. President Trump, one of his last actions, announced that it was not in the national security interests, and he was vetoing the U.S. Steel-Nippon Steel merger. Now, those companies have gone to federal court. They want to get that merger back on the table, but for now, it seems to be stalled. What does that mean for the future of the Mon Valley and for these U.S. Steel facilities that are in Braddock, West Mifflin, and Clairton? and how can RIDC help? It's a big, huge question. There's a lot of questions there.
Big question. It's a big issue. And it's really important for the Mon Valley. It's critical for the Mon Valley. It's really important for the region broadly. If you take U.S. Steel at their word that they will not be able to continue to operate these facilities in the absence of a merger, the impact would be devastating on the Mon Valley. We're talking about, 4,000 direct jobs, and these are good-paying union jobs, would disappear if you were to shut down the Mon Valley Works. And I don't think anybody thinks that would happen tomorrow, but their future is clearly limited without the capital infusion that Nippon Steel has promised to provide should the merger go through. So whether it's Nippon Steel or whether it's another company or whether it's a revitalized U.S. Steel or whatever, the fact of the matter is without that sort of $1 billion or $1 billion plus of new investment, we run the risk of seeing U.S. Steel disappear from Pittsburgh, losing their headquarters downtown, but also then losing all those union jobs. But I think what's also not counted in that is there are probably thousands more people who service the mills, who sell goods to the mills, who, offer dry cleaning and daycare and dog sitting services to people who work at the mill. And then there's the companies that take the steel that's produced in the Mon Valley, like DuraBond, and make it into pipes, like Value Added, and make it into value added products. Nextech, others that take that steel, and it's a real advantage for them to have very low transportation costs to get that steel and process it. So if U.S. Steel goes away, I think it throws into question the long-term viability of a whole bunch of companies that are part of the ecosystem around U.S. Steel. So I think the ripple effects would be dramatic and devastating to the Mon Valley and frankly, to the whole region. Whether it's Nippon or someone else, we need to solve this problem.
You have what you call a Mon Valley action plan. I want to take one more quick break, and then I want to dig into some of the points that you raise in your Mon Valley action plan, okay?
Sure, sounds good.
Don Smith is president of RIDC, RIDC.org. If you want to know more about what they do, or you are someone who's looking for space for your business to grow or expand, I think Don and his team would want to talk to you. From the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, and we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families at White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at strifflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Back for a few more minutes with Don Smith from RIDC. So you have what you call a Mon Valley action plan that you proposed in an op-ed. Tell me what are some of the points in your action plan, regardless of U.S. Steel, but one of the points is confirming or going through with this Nippon Steel merger you think would be a good thing for the long-term viability of manufacturing in the Mon Valley.
Yeah, I think the merger would be critical because of that $1 billion of investment that would keep the Mon Valley Works current and competitive with other mill sites, not only around the country, but around the world. So I think that's really important. I think transportation access is crucial. So we must finish the Mon Valley Expressway. It has to be done. It has to be done to provide access to people to travel in and out, but also products to travel in and out, which will help attract more companies to the Mon Valley.
And it should be mentioned, it's the construction's underway right now between Route 51 and Dravosburg, and the planning process is underway between Dravosburg and Duquesne. So it's not pie in the sky. There's earth being moved out there right now.
There is, and we think, getting the Mon Valley to Duquesne will be great for the Duquesne and McKeesport sites, as well as Braddock and Cary Furnace. But completing that link all the way through to Monroeville and to the Parkway will be an enormous improvement. I think you also want to see the busway extended. So the East Busway from downtown, we'd like to see that extended into the Mon Valley so that you can get workers to the sites more easily. And so we think that's important. I think, we had, I don't know how many visits, if anybody counted, how many visits from the presidential campaigns during the last campaign. You know, they didn't leave any money when they came to visit.
No.
So they wanted a
I
vote.
noticed. Yeah, I noticed.
But there were no big cardboard checks
Yeah.
that were delivered. And I think they need to do that. They need to invest in the infrastructure. They need to invest in the transportation. They need to invest in the people. So whether it's workforce training, but also housing. I mean, we mentioned, you asked about housing on some of the sites, but there are lots of other vacant sites nearby. And there are organizations like the Mon Valley Initiative that are doing great work to develop housing, but rebuilding the main streets and the downtowns of Duquesne and McKeesport with new housing to bring more workers into the region to support those companies would be really important.
Let me
So,
ask you, if I can interrupt you for a second, are there businesses and I know you can't tell too many tales out of school here, but are there businesses that looked at our IDC facilities and have walked away from them because there is not expressway access or because there is not high-speed transit access to these sites?
yeah, we've had folks that have looked, and I think the two primary reasons that we've lost deals have been either transportation access or workforce availability.
Well, we
And
heard
so,
that when with the Shell cracker plant up in Beaver County that they said, they're having trouble getting enough employees to work there, both for the construction and now with the facility up and running. People are coming in from all over Ohio and West Virginia to work there because we just don't have a big enough labor population.
well, and when you look at the statistics, we're one of the only metropolitan areas that has lost workforce since the pandemic. So we're 40,000 workers shorter in our labor force than we were when COVID hit. Most other regions have recovered or are growing, and so that's a real constraint on companies that locate here. If you want to get these big announcements for the 1,000-person, 2,000-person, 4,000-person manufacturing plant, like the one that just went into Ohio in Anduril. You got to have the workforce. That's one of the key things they're looking for is the availability of skilled labor to take those jobs. And so what really needs to happen is we need to get a growth mentality in this region. Growth is essential for providing the kind of healthy and prosperous lives that we all want. We need to grow the tax base. We need to grow the workforce. We need to attract companies, and we need to compete aggressively. I do think, Governor Shapiro and his team, Rick Saiger at DCD, are getting more aggressive about using incentives, about attracting companies, but their toolkit, despite the sites fund that was really important that they passed, is still a few dollars short compared to our competitor states. And these are not giveaways. These are investments. Investments in the infrastructure, investments in the space, investments in the people that will be attractive to all companies in the region. And so we need to get aggressive to really think about how we compete effectively with the rest of the world, and as well as our neighbors in Ohio and Maryland and New York and West Virginia, et cetera.
If you want to read the op-ed that Don Smith wrote in the Pittsburgh Business Times, which is also published in other publications as well, you can go to ridc.org and click the link. You can also find out more about what RIDC does throughout the southwestern Pennsylvania region, as well as if you have a business and you are looking for space, Don and his team, I think, would probably like to talk with you. Don Smith is president of Regional Industrial Development Corporation. Don, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you, Jay. It's my pleasure, and this is such an important topic for the Mon Valley, but also for the region.
And thank you all for listening this morning to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.